Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Research and Development Lab here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is a...
What's going on, man? Tell me.
Study. I can't find who did the study, but it was reported in the New York Times. The world's funniest joke. And they evidently had a website in which people could submit jokes.
Is this in keeping with the New York Times model, the world's funniest joke that's fit to print? Because I'm sure that my funniest joke ain't the same as this.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't recognize any of these jokes. But I thought it interesting that different countries had different kinds of senses of humor.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And so not only did they pick the best joke, which I'll tell you in a second, and it's pretty good.
Okay, I can't wait.
Well, I'll just give you the best one. Two hunters are out in the woods. One of them collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing, and his eyes are glazed. The other man pulls out his cell phone and calls 911. He says to the operator, "My friend is dead. What can I do?" The operator, in a calm, soothing voice, says, "Relax. Take it easy. I can help you. First of all, let's make sure that he really is dead." There's a silence. Then the gunshot. The guy comes back on the phone. He says, "Okay, now what?" I mean,
that's good.
That's pretty good. But interestingly, it says that Americans liked jokes that made fun of people. For example, one of the favorite jokes in America was this one. The Texan says, "Where are you from?" Harvard graduate says, "I come from a place where we do not end our sentences with prepositions." Texan says, "Okay, where are you from, jerk?" And Australia, now get this. This could tell us everything.
Well, you may. I think a culture's jokes do say a lot.
They do say Australian.
But their outlook.
Woman rushed to see the doctor, looking very worried and all strung out. She says to the doctor, "Doctor, look at me. When I woke up this morning, I looked at myself in the mirror. I saw my hair was all wiry and frazzled. My skin was all wrinkled and pasty. My eyes were bloodshot, bugging out. I had this corpse-like look on my face. What's wrong with me, doctor?" The doctor looks at her and he says, "Well, I can tell you one thing. There's nothing wrong with your eyesight." But, of course, you're right. We would have submitted completely different jokes, they are a heck of a lot funnier.
But unfit to print, perhaps.
But not fit to print.
Well, if you have a joke for us or a question, even.
How's your eyesight?
That's great.
How do I look?
If you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I am Sharon, and I live in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hi, Sharon.
And I have a 1991 Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was working, I would pay mechanics any amount of money to give me peace of mind and make my car work.
Yeah.
But now I'm retired.
Uh-oh.
And I have just been given two quotes for a noise, a very lurid noise.
Ooh, lurid, eh?
Lurid noise.
Every time I turn the steering wheel, the car makes a sound that kind of goes,
Go, could you do that again?
If you don't get emotionally involved.
No, I won't. I promise I won't. But I'm going to record it this time.
When I turn the steering wheel.
Either way, left or right.
Left or right.
You're sitting stopped.
I'm stopped or going.
Or moving.
Or moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes this noise and it kind of goes,
Yeah, sort of like.
You're interested in selling this car?
Well, so I live in a retirement community,
yeah.
And we have a wonderful little old gentleman who fixes cars.
Oh, that's good.
And he came over and told me it was going to take between $285 and $325 to fix this problem.
Because he wants to replace the power steering pump.
No.
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 Because he just replaced, the sway bar links.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have another theory.
Yes.
I think I know what he wants to replace.
What?
He wants to replace the bearings at the top of each of the front struts.
I think it may be, but when I took it to get a second opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
From the guy up the street.
Yeah.
He said, all the Tauruses do that. Don't pay any attention to it.
Now, so his quote is zero.
Yes, and so somewhere between $285 and zero is the truth, I fear.
Well, I wrote down, when you described your little problem, I wrote on my little sheet of paper that I...
$142.50.
I wrote $225.
$225.
That's what I wrote.
I wrote $142.50.
You did. Somewhere between there, then.
I see.
That makes it $186.75.
Okay.
And that's it.
Well, we've discovered on a few Tori that we've had in the shop that if you put the car on the lift and let the suspension hang, that somehow or another it disturbs that bearing that's on top of the strut. And we've had to, on a few occasions, either take that thing apart and clean it up and grease it, or actually replace it for this noise to go away.
This is relatively easy to check because it'll make the noise anytime you want it to. And so someone can raise up the hood and listen to see if the noise is coming from the power steering pump or from these little bearings.
Oh, I see.
I don't think I would fix this because I think you have the rare opportunity in the retirement complex to parlay this into some serious cash.
Well, my husband was trying to figure out some way to make, to make some extra cash. Though.
Well, you can take some of those old geezers around for a ride. I think that'll do it. I don't think it's dangerous.
Yeah.
In fact, if it's what I think it is, I'm pretty sure it's not dangerous, but you should have the whole front end checked out. And I would suggest you take it to a Ford dealer.
Ooh.
And let them give you a third opinion.
Okay.
See you, Sharon.
But in neither case is it dangerous.
Well, both people told me it wasn't dangerous.
Good.
So I've continued to ride around with it. But
yeah.
I really can't take the ladies out with me because they get alarmed.
They get all excited. Yeah. Well, maybe that's good, I think that's good. You might be the new healer. Good luck, Sharon.
See
Thanks
you.
For calling.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Oh, that's so much better, Better than the anti-log of 10.27605439324.
Just slightly. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great. Who's this?
This is Brian from Los Angeles.
Brian with an I?
Yes, very good.
Brian,
I hate it when people try and spell it with a Y.
Yeah, no,
it ticks me off.
What's going on, Brian?
Okay, my car is a 1992 Buick LeSabre.
Yeah.
Got about 180,000 miles on it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good car. It's pretty reliable, but it has this one little problem with my transmission. We call it morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
When the car's been sitting for a long time, like overnight, it doesn't want to go into gear.
Well, the shift lever will move.
Yeah, the shift lever will move, and the car will make a little noise.
But it won't go.
It won't go. But if you rev it up a few times and wait about a minute, it'll go, and then the problem won't happen again.
Well, then just do that.
No, I just wanted to know if there's anything I can do to fix this, because I don't want to be stranded somewhere if it gets any worse.
It is going to get worse.
It is going to get worse, and how does $1,000 sound to you? Now can you be stranded?
It doesn't sound great.
Well, let's get some history here. How religious have you been about maintenance of everything?
Well, I take it to Jiffy Lube every 3,000 miles, like I should.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I did take it to a transmission guy earlier this year, and he changed the filter and flushed it.
Oh.
And did you bring it there because you were having this problem?
Yes. And that fixed it for a couple of weeks, and then it started up again.
Yeah, no, the reason it didn't do it is that the clean fluid got everything working correctly. But you've got tired, worn-out seals, O-rings, leaky valves in the transmission. You've got clutches that are... everything's gone. This thing is on its last legs.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Oh, man, what a black picture you're painting.
Yeah, not the whole car. I mean, just the tranny.
Yeah.
Well, how many miles are on the car?
180.
Oh,
the car's on its last legs, too. I mean, everything that's mechanical breaks, no matter how well you maintain it, sooner or later, everything breaks.
Right.
And if you lived in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
instead of this taking a minute to work, you'd be out there for like 4 months
yeah.
in the winter.
You'd be sitting there all winter revving it up saying, come on, baby, come
yeah.
on.
So the fact that you live in L.A. is great because the thing warms up faster because the ambient temperature is higher. And you get going faster. You probably notice that it's even a little better in the summer than it is in the cooler weather.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, that's why all the transmission shops are up north here. You
so
guys,
you need a transmission rebuild.
Oh, my my
but,
gosh.
But,
well, I mean, it's not to the end of the world.
But wait a minute. You can try. Don't forget, you tried one method of repair here, the flush and the filter change.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't tried Transmedic.
Yeah, someone mentioned that to me. Someone mentioned that to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, this is the time, Brian, to try each and every one of the additives. I mean, at $6 a bottle, and don't forget, they all have a money-back guarantee. So
right.
You save the receipt, you save whatever proof of purchase is required,
uh-huh.
And when the thing doesn't work, you get your $6 back.
Now, if that fixes the problem, should I just let it go?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. But make sure you let us know that it worked, because we want to know which one of these things works, because we've never found one that works.
but that doesn't mean they don't. Don't forget, if everyone asked for his money back, these guys would have been out of business, so some of them must work.
Well, that's encouraging.
So we're trying to find out from you which one works, so try each and every one of them. But, you know, give them all a few days. If it doesn't work, try another one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but, be prepared to have a transmission rebuild, because that's what you need.
I'll try the fluid first.
Try the
Transmedic first.
See you, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR. Talk to us.
Wait a minute. We've now taken two phone calls, and the questions have been extraordinarily simple.
Yeah.
And we've given proper advice on two consecutive situations here. And... I'm a little scared. I'll tell you the truth.
If you'd like to call us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kathy and David from Bath, Maine.
Kathy and David, both of you.
Yes.
Well, same line.
Kathy with a C or a K?
With a C.
What the hell difference does it make?
You think it makes no difference because you're a pure left brain person. That I arrest my case. So what's up, Kathy and David? Don't you make apples or something, or is it shoes? Oh, that's Harry and David.
Harry and David. Shoes.
And Joan and David shoes, Harry and David apples. Okay, what's up, guys?
Well, we're hoping you could settle a marital difficulty.
I'll let my brother handle this. He's the expert.
I love these.
Only because he creates so many.
Practice makes perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. It does.
We took a trip up to Mount Washington, and David was in what I call the go mode, which means you go and you don't stop. And we drove up to almost the top of Mount Washington, and on the way back down, there's lots of places you can stop that have water to put on your brakes to cool them down.
Really?
Yeah. So
yeah.
David was using the transmission to keeping us in first gear instead of the brakes.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was making a loud noise. So I suggested we use the brakes until they began to smoke.
Yeah.
And so we're wondering which of us was right.
He was. And what's the next question?
It's a good thing you called us yesterday, huh, Dave?
What kind of a vehicle is this?
It's a Subaru Justy.
Yeah, well, it almost doesn't matter. I just asked that to kill time. because no matter what vehicle you were in, David's technique is the approved technique.
Yeah, and the reason you were worried by it, Kathy, is that it does sound like it's straining the motor.
It does. I mean, when you're in first gear and that thing is coming down Mount Washington, it sounds like... And the truth of the matter is, that's fine. It's hard to believe that that's fine, but it is.
Yeah, well, you're hearing two things. You're hearing the transmission in first gear, which makes a lot of noise in itself. And in addition to that, you're hearing the engine running at very high revs, but the engine is acting as a brake. And it's perfectly okay. And most people are reluctant to do it because it sounds so bad, and it sounds like you're straining the engine, but in fact, you're not. The engine's going along for a free ride. Gravity is pulling the car down the hill and making the engine turn fast, and that's okay.
And it's even better than okay, because the alternative is...
to smoke the brakes.
Frying the brakes. I mean, really frying them.
Yeah, well, we did turn off at one spot after I gave up on the transmission.
You mean you relented? That's right. That was the right thing to do, David. If your wife says you're doing something stupid, no matter what it is,
she's usually right.
Stop doing it. Well, I mean, you've even seen on highways when it says signs that say steep hill, trucks use lower gear. And, in fact, someone wrote to us recently, and we answered this very question in our newspaper column, which appears in thousands of cities across this great country of ours, including
Birdcages.
Texarkansas.
Birdcages.
And What was I saying?
It
says trucks use lower gear, and someone asked us, well, what about cars? And the answer we gave was, well, they only say trucks use lower gear because they assume people in cars are smart enough to figure it out for themselves. But you should always use as low a gear as you have to use.
The Teamsters have your home address?
The Teamsters are at my house right now.
Anyway, you are right, David, and unfortunately, Kathy, you were wrong.
Is he right, I mean, he has shown tremendous, not only intelligence, but perspicacity. The fact that he was right, and yet he relented and did what his wife suggested anyway, shows that this is a man of tremendous.
Well, you know what
tremendous.
This calls for, David.
Experience is what it is.
You know what this? Yeah, you showed considerable grace, I would say.
Wisdom.
But this calls for. Nah, 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 nah. Thanks for your call, folks.
Thank you.
Bye, bye.
See you later.
Okay, Tommy. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
All right, just give me a hint. I need a hint, and I'll have it. Give me a hint.
Here's the only hint I can give you. It was fully automotive and involved an old Chevy, not unlike the one you used to have.
Yeah.
And a picture of Marilyn Monroe. No clue, huh?
Huh?
I was just kidding about Marilyn. But it does involve an old Chevy, and I'll have the answer in just a minute.
She's an oldie, but a goodie. You might call her my old woodie. Ain't got no carburetor. Just one, it's in the radar. I'm talking about my roadster. You ain't driven till you drove this chariot of fire. Well, come on, let me take you high.
And even though NPR stagehands dig out the old two-man hook whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Maddie Sofia here, host of Shortwave, a new daily science podcast from NPR. Listen for new discoveries, everyday mysteries, and the science behind the headlines, all in about 10 minutes. It'll be fun. You'll learn some stuff. And yeah, it's gonna get a little weird. 'Cause science. Listen and subscribe now to Shortwave from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's fully automotive puzzler.
It was about a Chevy, huh? Old Chevy. I don't remember it. I honestly
don't. I didn't either until I looked at my notes here. Anyway, a few months or weeks ago, I don't know when this happened, one of my guys was under the hood of an old Chevy pickup truck trying to find a vacuum leak. Now, a vacuum leak is a hole somewhere which allows extra air to leak into the engine or get sucked into the engine. And since all the air that enters the engine should get in through the carburetor or the throttle body or some controlled mechanism, any air that comes in anywhere else is a vacuum leak and therefore unwanted.
Yeah, and it disrupts the fine balance.
The stoichiometry.
Oh, man.
And it makes the engine run lousy, too.
That, too.
Especially if the leak is big enough, and in this case it wasn't, the car would not run at all and certainly wouldn't run at idle. And in this case, it was stalling every time you would take your foot off the gas. And that's the problem this thing had. Anyway, now the way you find vacuum leaks is either you get lucky and hear a hissing, and you say, ah, there it is, or we use a wand that has a little nozzle at the end that shoots propane gas. And when the propane and the vacuum leak meet,
what happens?
The propane gets sucked in with the air that's getting sucked in. It renders the mixture now correct, and the engine suddenly begins to run better. Then you move to a different spot, and the engine returns to its lousy performance, and you go back and forth, and you say, aha,
that's it. Yeah.
So there he is with the propane wand under the hood, and the leak is so big, I guess, or so evasive that he can't seem to find it. So in desperation, he throws the stuff down and shuts off the engine. Of course, I do what? Walk away. I don't want
to. Don't want to be part
I don't like
of this.
To micromanage. You know, I mean, you fix the cars. I'll do something else.
That's right.
Call me if you need me. A few minutes later, I walk by and he's doing something interesting. He's pulling off the spark plug wires and he's putting them back on, but on the wrong plugs.
Hmm?
I say, what a knucklehead. I walk away again. 2 minutes later, I hear him on the phone ordering the part he needs to fix the vacuum leak. What did he do?
He put the plugs on the wrong, the spark plug wires.
Yeah, he does this all the time, so I didn't think it was anything.
Yeah.
What he did by hooking up the spark plug wires incorrectly and running the engine, he made it backfire through the intake manifold. And when that happens and you get combustion taking place in the manifold.
He saw a puff of smoke.
There you go. A puff of smoke, and he found a gasket that was blown. That's where he saw the puff of smoke escape. And boom, he ordered it. And 9 hours later, it was fixed.
And the flat rate book gave you 21 hours to do that job, so you charge for 21 hours.
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. And Ken's car has never run the same since.
Boy, that's very good.
Do we have a winner this week?
The winner is Regina Warren from Suffern, New York. Suffern. And for having her answer selected...
That's where the succotash, Suffern succotash comes from.
Suffern succotash, right. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Regina is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that gift certificate, she can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs Collection or the collection of classics called The Hatchback of Notre Dame.
Which I strongly recommend.
I do. But whichever you choose, hurry up because we have a boat payment due in about a week.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or almost anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Lynn from Jeffersonton, Virginia.
Hi, Lynn.
Lynn, how are you?
Jeffersonton?
Yes.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Jeffersonton.
Got you. What's going on, Lynn?
I have a general question. It could apply to any car.
Yeah.
And you're actually going to settle an argument between my husband and myself.
Oh, we love it.
Okay.
Well, your husband's right.
Oh.
But we're not prejudiced at all.
I hope he is.
I hope.
My question is, we were told a while back that when you drive a car in warm weather, for instance, in the high heat of summer, and you drive it into an automatic car wash, and the cold water hits brake rotors, that it has the same effect as in your home when you take a hot frying pan off your stove and put it into cold water, it warps them. And we've consequently had to buy new rotors with this advice. Now, my husband thinks that it's just not true. And I think it's just it is a physical possibility. What do you guys think?
Well, it is a physical possibility.
Wouldn't it be?
But it would require that you had been using the brakes excessively. Because, I mean, they don't get that hot if you just step on the brake after you pull into the car wash.
Okay.
You know, if you just drive down the street. If you had come down a mountain and went into the car wash at the bottom of the hill, then what they say is possible.
Well,
that
would
possible.
Be a great place to have a car wash, and you could have a brake shop right next door.
That would be great.
Yes, it would.
Brakes warped, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, I just wondered, because once we heard that particular scenario.
You told your husband he was wacko.
Yes.
Well, and he is.
No. No, he thinks that it can't happen?
He says no, that the metal that brakes are made out of is something that just will not warp. It may wear down, but it's not going to warp. And
Oh, no.
We know they warp all the time.
On the contrary.
We know they warp all the time. Usually it's due to internal stresses that are there when the brake rotor is cast, you know. And you know, hopefully before the thing gets machined, all those stresses have been relieved. They machine the thing, and then it's good for, you know, the life of the rotor. But it's often the case that rotors, and it can happen that a rotor that's very hot that goes through a puddle, for example, or gets introduced to the cold water of a car wash can warp, sure.
Okay.
Will it warp a lot? Not necessarily. And don't forget, cars do have hot rotors that do get driven through, you know, big puddles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they warp, and most of the time they don't. But it can happen.
Okay.
It can. So I think you're right.
Great. I can't wait to tell him.
I bet you can't.
What did
Thank
you win?
You guys.
What did you win?
Yeah, was there a wager involved?
Was there a wager, like a diamond bracelet?
Well, you may not want to know what
the
wager was.
Oh, yeah, we want to know everything.
I'll put it this way. It was kind of warped.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gabriel in Manhattan.
What's shaking?
Well, I actually don't have a car, but
you
I'm going to be buying one.
Why? You live in Manhattan.
Well, I'm a jazz musician. I play the drums.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm just tired of schlepping my gear through the subways.
Yeah, that's a real pain.
How do you do that?
You
take a whole drum set through the subway? No.
It's a pretty convoluted process involving levers and pulleys and things like that.
Yeah, but you deflate the drums and then fill them with water later. What? Yeah, so, oh, man, not only do you need a car, you need a car that'll fit a drum set.
How many different clubs do you play at?
I don't know, five or
I can see where my
six.
Brother's going, and he's, as usual, a genius.
I would buy six sets
you
of
could
drums.
Buy six sets of drums. It would be a lot cheaper than a car. Exactly.
And donate them.
And you'd be a hero, man. Everyone else who played these cars, they'd be, hey, Gabe's, we're playing Gabe's drums, man. Who is this guy, Gabe? Yeah, you could even charge him a little rent. Say, look, give me $20 a week for the use of the drums.
That'd be a great tax deduction, too.
I'm telling you, I love the idea of buying six sets of drums. I mean, think of the discount you'd get. Now, what does a good set of drums cost? It's gonna be a couple of K, huh?
Yeah, one to 2,000. If you want to get a really serious set, it's gonna be probably three and a half.
Oh, you need a serious set of drums. The drums are very important in jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're playing rock and roll, they can give you a couple of 2x4s and a hammer, and it wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah. And one of those containers that carries putty in it.
Joint comp buckets. So you really want to get a car, huh? Is that the question you want us to answer? You don't like our solution, huh?
Well, it's one I'll put into the think tank. But the question I had was that, you know, I'm going to buy used, and I'm going around, you know, and kind of pounding the pavement and looking at cars, and I read this tip the other day that I thought was pretty clever, and it said that, you know, when you're looking at used cars, always check the radio. And if all the presets are tuned to rock and roll stations, then there's a good bet that the transmission is shot.
I love it.
Sure.
And so I was wondering, I thought, well, this is a clever little rule of thumb, you know, to kind of carry around. And I thought you guys might have a few more maybe similar tips or tricks or tests that...
Well, you know who authored that very piece of advice? We did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes. We have a pamphlet on how to buy a used car, and that's one of the tips.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so if someone's been listening to that head-banging music, then you know that the transmission's shot, the brakes are shot, the thing's going to be a jalopy. You want to find someone who's got those stations set to nice, calm, like NPR and classical music
and
stations.
And jazz,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, jazz.
So was that the question? Should you abide by this piece of advice? Of course
you
should.
Well, the question was, do you have any more similar things like that, little rules of thumb, things that you would always do when you're out looking at a used car to check this or kick the tires that or something to that effect?
Well, you should also buy a car that's going to suit the kind of driving you do most of the time.
Well, the one I'm kind of centered on right now is a Honda Civic.
That big enough?
Well, the drums will fit. I mean,
they
jazz
will.
Drums are really small.
Yeah.
Is that a car that, I mean, how late back do you think I can go and, you know, an 87 and 89 and still have it working on me?
Well, it's not, when you're going back that far, even when you just go back, anything over like 4 years back means that there's no way you're going to be able to be guaranteed that it's okay.
Sure.
So no matter what it is, if it's more than 4 years old, you really have to take it to a mechanic to have it checked out.
Okay.
If there's just one thing we would tell you, that's what it is. Don't ever trust yourself. Don't ever trust the friend that claims he knows all about cars. And above all, don't ever trust the guy who's selling it to you.
Yeah.
Even when they say it's been through the 306-point check.
Yeah, and if he suggests that you take it to his guy to check it out, run.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds good. But a Honda Civic is perfect. It's a small car. It's easy to park, and you can get any year you want, anything you can afford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See you, Gabriel.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jana from La Sierra University in Riverside, California.
Jana?
Mm-hmm.
J-A-N-N-A?
Just one in.
Okay.
We're with you.
What's up?
Well, I own a 97 Chevy Blazer, and the windshield makes this noise like rocks are hitting it, like a rock hits it, you know, when a car is driving in front of you and it kicks up a rock and you get all mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it does it when there's no cars around, when the car is stopped. I don't know why. It just makes a big crack sound, and it's really scary. I think it's going to, like, fall apart on me one day, and I'm going to, like, end up in the middle of the freeway with no windshield.
Really?
Yeah.
Cracking sounds.
I had a friend in the car with me the other day. She ducked and covered.
She did, really? I mean, it's that loud.
Yeah, it's pretty loud. Sometimes it's quiet, and sometimes it just cracks really loud.
Does the engine have to be running? Do you ever sit in the car by yourself without...
And smoke a cigar like my brother does every...
Without the engine running?
It's not a common habit of mine.
So we don't know if it would happen at night, for example, when no one's around. If a tree falls in the forest...
If a tree fell on your windshield. But does it happen at night?
Yeah, it happens at night.
And it happens in the daytime?
It happens in the day, happens when I'm stopped, happens when I'm flying down the road.
How soon after you get in the car does it happen?
Sometimes it doesn't for hours, and sometimes it does it, you know, from the start.
And I hate to ask this question, but how do you know the sound is coming from the windshield?
It sounds exactly like a rock hitting your windshield. When I first got my car, I was mad because I thought my people were throwing rocks at my new car.
And when it happens, how frequent are these rocks coming at the car? Is it like one a minute or one in an hour?
About one an hour. It doesn't happen a whole lot.
It's just one at a time, in other words.
Yeah, just one at a time. But there's no cracks in my windshield at all.
But there are no cracks in the windshield.
You may need a windshield crack.
Now, somebody said that GMC is known to glue their windshields in, and maybe the glue is cracking.
Nah.
That sounds just really
that
dumb.
That sounds bogus, yeah.
Is it just bogus, or is it bogus?
No, this is just bogus. Boy, Jenna...
I just noticed we're out of time.
You mean you guys are going to let me down?
Jenna, I mean...
Well, here's what I would...
How about this? Call back with a different question. I mean, you sound like a person we would probably want to talk to. But this is a bogus question.
Well, it isn't. I mean, I'm sure that there's an answer someplace, and it's possible that the windshield is set incorrectly.
Okay.
It's possible. And it's possible that what you're hearing is the expansion of the glass. I don't know what you could be hearing. But if you really think it's coming from the glass, then you should take it to a glass shop.
Okay.
Trouble is that it happens so infrequently that no one's going to be able to hear it.
No,
they're going to just think that she's crazy.
No, they
like
won't. But they may
do.
Have
I mean,
heard
frankly,
it. They
I
may
mean,
have.
Don't you think she's nuts?
Oh yeah, she's nuts. But...
Thanks, I appreciate it.
But they may have heard the noise from other Blazers before.
Maybe.
And they may say, "Oh yeah, the windshield needs to be reset." In which case, what they do is they take it out.
It's that old cracking Blazer noise.
And they try not to break the windshield, and then they reinstall it. And it could be as simple as that.
I honestly don't believe it's the windshield.
What else could it be?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem. That's why I am a firm believer in the windshield theory.
I mean, people duck and cover when they get in my car. They think the windshield's going to cave in or something.
Yeah, boy, have you called a Chevrolet dealer? Because, I mean, this is the sort of thing. This is, whatever this is, it is unique to the Blazer.
Yeah.
If it really is happening. Mm-hmm. The only ones who will have any idea of what it might be
would be
the Chevy dealer.
Okay.
And I would call them because, as you probably have gathered, because you sound like you're pretty sharp and quick, we don't have any idea.
Yeah. Picked up on that one.
See you, Jenna.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
All right. On that note, I think it's time for us to take a break.
Yeah, you know what's coming up next? My brother is going to dazzle us with a spectacular new puzzler that will knock your socks off.
Aw, I wish you wouldn't raise expectations like that.
What? I deleted the phrase Pulitzer Prize winning like you asked me to.
Great. We'll be back with a brand new, I'd say, I have to say, interesting puzzle. I don't think you can really pigeonhole
interesting
this
Interesting is good.
Okay, so, and of course, more of your calls, so don't touch that dial or go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Still I get restless and drive in a town. once down Main Street and turned back around. It's crazy, but God knows I don't act my age like an old desperado who paints a town beige.
And even though all the other land masses start to inch away from the North American plate whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
The past decade saw a lot of changes in the way music is made, shared, and experienced. Social media blew up, genres blurred together, and Beyoncé dominated nearly everything. I'm Robin Hilton. Join NPR Music as we look back at the 2010s, its defining trends and moments. Listen to new episodes twice a week on All Songs Considered from NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Interesting Puzzler.
Oh, I did say interesting. At least I thought it was interesting.
Go ahead. We'll let you know.
Well, this has been bothering me for a long time, and it's a mystery that I decided I was going to solve recently. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, along with my brother and his wife, had occasion to visit New York City and stay at one of the finer hotels, whose name I can't remember, but it was one of those that actually had beds and sheets. And I'm sure all of you have noticed this, but if you go into the bathroom in your hotel room, you turn on the hot water, whether it's at the sink or the shower, and instantaneously you get hot water. Do you not? I mean, if not instantaneously, within a few seconds.
Certainly not time enough to come up from the basement of the building.
Exactly. So I'm convinced that the water heater is got to be under the sink. There's what is called a point of use hot water heater, right?
There are such things.
So, there are. There are. So I immediately drop to my knees and I'm on my back and I'm looking up under the sink and I see nothing. And there's just ordinary pipes there like I would see in my bathroom. But I know in my bathroom when I turn on the hot water, I have to wait and wait and wait and wait. Mm-hmm. And finally the hot water comes. But in the hotel room, bingo, it's right there.
Yeah.
So I decide to investigate.
You broke the hole in the wall?
No. And so I go looking. I walk up and down the car to figure there's somewhere there's going to be a mechanicals room, right, where the water heater is. And it's obviously going to be right near my room. Or maybe there are these things all over the place. So I go looking. I can't figure anything out, and I'm in room 1120, there's 1121 next to me, 1119 on the other side, and I'm convinced that one of them is a phony. And all night long, I'm tossing and turning, I can't figure this out.
Yeah.
And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I jump out of bed, and
you say, Eureka!
I throw on a pair of wedgies and a robe, and I run to the room, 1122 next door. And I know this is the utility room. It's not a real hotel room. It's a phony room. I pound on the door expecting no one would answer because all that's in there is the hot water heater. Guy answers in his underwear. What do you want? Well, I know that isn't the answer. And then next morning, I ask one of the chambermaids. I said, where's the water heater on this floor? She says, there's no water heater on this floor. I asked the concierge. I said, is there a water heater above us or below us? He says, no, monsieur. All the water heaters are in the basement.
Wow.
And the question...
You didn't tell me you did all this.
Oh, I was up all night.
So was I, but I didn't see you. Some jerk was banging on my door.
So the question, very simply, is if the water heaters are in the basement and I'm on the 11th floor, how in the world can I have hot water instantaneously? And this is the case no matter what hotel you go to, probably any place in the world, you turn on the hot water faucet and... Bingo. You've got hot water, and I don't know how they do it. Now, if you think you know how they do it, let me know. It's driving me crazy. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or, of course, on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you want to talk to us right now, of course you can. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888 227 1-800-259-9255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This Click and Clack.
Yeah, it is, so are we. My God. There's four of us. Yes, this is. Who's this?
This is Raymond Dean from L.A.
From L.A.
Hi, Raymond.
How you doing, Raymond?
Right. Lower Alabama now.
Oh,
oh, I wondered why you had that funny L.A. accent.
Right. We're from Boll Weevil City.
Boll Weevil City, huh?
That's Enterprise, Alabama.
Boll Weevil City. Enterprise, Alabama.
Gee, I love it. I
only
love
place,
it.
The only place in the world that has a monument to a pest.
No, there's one of those. Never mind.
So what's up, Raymond?
Well, I had a wreck the other day.
Yeah? With what?
With my automobile. I
what
told
kind?
It, and I wanted to talk to you about it.
All right.
Sure.
How much experience, how frequent does a rear axle break?
What kind of a car is it?
It was a 79 Ford Granada.
79 Ford Granada, and you just broke an axle, actually broke in two, and the wheel came off.
Right, and then I had a wreck.
Sure
I
you
totaled
did.
The car.
You totaled the car, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, I would say it's pretty rare occurrence.
But it's not one of those never things. I mean, it does happen.
At which end did the axle break? Very close to the wheel?
Right on the bearing, right.
Right on the bearing. That's why the wheel came off.
According to my tow truck person, he said the bearing seized and turned and got red hot and cut
I believe
the
him.
Axle.
I believe it, because you probably... Have you ever had a bearing replaced on that axle before?
No.
Never.
No, I've never heard of an axle bearing breaking.
Not breaking, but burning out.
I mean burning up, you know.
Okay, so you never had a bearing replaced. We've seen a few cases where the bearing was replaced and the previous bearing had gotten overheated very badly and that weakened the axle. And sometimes a mechanic will take it off with an acetylene torch and damage the axle that way.
But here's the real question, Raymond. How long was it making the noise that you disregarded?
I never heard a noise.
Well, wait a minute. More important question. Was your hearing aid on the day you were driving the thing or not?
I didn't have my hearing aid on, although my wife says I need one.
Oh,
well, I know you need one now, too.
But no one has ever noticed any noise coming out of that axle?
No, and I listen for noises. I'm a shade tree.
Yeah, you may be a shade tree, but your hearing may not be good enough. Because a bearing that's gone sounds pretty. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a bunch of marbles in a washing machine.
Right, I've heard bearings before.
Whoa. It's unlikely that it would not have been making that noise and then seized to that extent that it would break the axle. Seems unlikely.
They said it turned red hot and cut the axle like butter.
Sure. That's what would happen.
Well, see, I depend on noise to analyze what's going on in my car, you know.
Yeah. I know. You want us to speak up a little? No, I think I have to believe that thing was making so... We have this problem all the time in the garage. People will come in with a noise that's obviously been there for many weeks. You can tell, you see a bearing worn out or a caliper that's so seized that it's just...
Grinding up the disc.
The disc and the pad are molded into one piece almost. And they'll say, I never heard a thing.
Mm.
And you know that noise had to have been there many days or sometimes even weeks before the actual failure occurred.
I mean, it may be. I mean, this is a 79 Granada. It probably has a few other noises.
The bearings do, I mean, the axles do break, and usually they break closer to the other end. And when that happens, the wheel doesn't come flying off because the axle gets jammed into the housing, and there's usually a lot of noise, and the wheel does some funny things, but it doesn't come all the way out.
You have enough time to pull over to the side of the road, but when it breaks right there at the bearing, bingo, it's gone.
Right.
This had to have been pretty exciting, though. I mean, in spite of the inconvenience, having that, did the wheel pass you?
No, I think it just fell and I popped over it, but it, of course, everything happened so fast. I was in the woods up against a pine tree before.
Yeah, you were lucky you survived this.
I feel blessed and lucky.
You are indeed a fortunate man, and now you can go out and shop for a new car. What are you going to buy next?
Well, I'm driving my Prestige car now.
What's that?
It's a 75 Dodge Monaco.
Oh, that's a beauty.
Oh,
that's
a
beauty.
Now you're talking.
Well, see, that's my Prestige car. I hate to have to drive. I just drove it to church on Sunday.
Well, go to church every day.
And you should to thank God for sparing your life.
I do. I thank him frequently, you know. But I guess I didn't hear the noise because of wind or up and radio on, maybe. Or
yeah, maybe. We're probably listening to loud music they play on NPR. That probably did it.
It had to be making noise, Raymond. So thank you, lucky stars, that you made it, and good luck with the Monaco.
And listen to your wife. She's probably right. Maybe you do need a hearing aid.
Wasn't making the noise.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
First call from L.A. all day.
Hey, look, you guys are great. You need a TV show.
There we go.
So I can watch you, and then I can read your lips.
All right.
See,
so long, Raymond. Thank you.
I knew he was a wise guy. One 888 car talk. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you, Tom and Ray?
Good, fine.
Who's this?
Okay. I am Sharon.
You have to identify yourself.
You're Sharon?
Yes.
From where?
From Spokane, Washington.
Spokane. That's near Seattle, home of Melissa Peterson, isn't it?
Well, it's clear across the state.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is clear across it, but it's closer to her than...
It's closer to her than
you're within striking distance of her,
so to speak. So what's up, Sharon?
Well, I have the seasonal question.
With I use a little bit of rosemary and thyme.
No.
Seasonal.
I thought you said seasoning.
No.
All right, a seasonal question. I'm sorry.
I want to know why after 5 to 6 hours in the car... I always end up having a bad hair day, and I know it's got to have something to do with, you know, something mechanical to the car, but, it doesn't matter how beautifully I'm coiffed in the morning, it's just, it looks a wreck by the end of the day. It looks like I pulled it out of the trunk and glued it on my head.
Oh, it's...
That's, mine looks like that all the time.
Yeah. So have you got any
what kind of a hairdo for me? What kind of a hairdo do you have?
I have shoulder-length hair.
Shoulder.
And normally it's kind of, naturally curly and has lots of body. And by the end of a car day,
it looks frizzed.
It's flat.
It's flat and not fluffy.
Flat and not fluffy.
No.
And this happens when you've spent many hours in the car?
Yeah, and it's not like I'm sleeping in the car. It's just like...
That's my brother's problem.
And do you have air conditioning in your car, and do you use it?
Yes.
And is this problem worse in the summer than it is in the winter?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, probably.
Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes. Now, do you have a brand... Actually, what I want to know is if there's... some like gadget I can buy for 3 payments of $9.95 each that's going to cure this thing. Do you know of anything like that?
Well, I'm sure Ron Popeil is working on right.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mean to laugh here, but this show started out. This show started out with people calling us with nuts and bolts questions.
Well,
what's the valve clearance? Should the valves be hot or cold when I adjust them? And
right, how do I torque the cylinder head when I can't get the torque wrench in there because the firewall's in the way?
And we have come now to bad hair. Hair. I mean, and you're asking her to use a cream rinse, and I'm wondering, am I just parachuted in here from some other planet? What the hell is going on?
That's a great money-making opportunity for you guys. Well, you could invent something that's going to cure this problem. It can show up in my next credit card statement, and you could make millions.
Well, do you?
Well, first we have to figure out what the problem is.
Well, I'm getting to the... Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes, I do.
Well, you shouldn't in the summer. No, it gives your hair too much body, and it'll flatten out. You need to have that flyaway look, especially in hot, humid weather.
So I would cut down
on the cream rinse.
I had in mind something along the way of a solar-powered humidifier or a negative ion machine that you could use an ion generator. Yeah.
Can I ask, what the hell do you know about cream rinse?
I wanted a mechanical answer to this problem.
Here's what I know. Here's the full extent of my knowledge of cream rinse. When I get in the shower, up until recently, I used to wash my hair with the same soap I use in the rest of my body. I didn't know from shampoo.
That's bad.
My wife introduced me to the wonderful world of shampoo, and she has arrayed in the shower all these other things, shampoos and other conditioners and cream rinses and all that. So I use this stuff. I don't know what the hell it is. But it makes, I know from my own personal experience that it makes my hair feel greasy. Cream rinse, and it flattens it out. It isn't as fluffy and fly away and as fresh looking.
Well, what is it supposed to do?
It mats it down, makes you look like a wet dog.
That's what cream rinse is for?
Makes your hair more manageable. It softens your hair, makes it easier to comb and style. I don't have that problem because I have nothing left to comb or style.
But you're suggesting that Sharon would have this problem whether she were in the car or not.
Yes, I would suggest that.
I don't think so.
A little known fact. You're probably stressed when you're behind the wheel. That stress affects the way your hair lies. I mean, Vidal Sassoon did a big seminar on that recently that I attended. It was the next door to the seat cover convention when I was in Indianapolis last month.
Well, Sharon, I am going to figure out what this problem really is, and you're right. You know, we will come out with something in a spray can.
I'm willing to contribute like my whole $37 in life savings if you guys want to go into business with me.
We're partners. That's it.
Okay.
We are partners.
Split the profits 50-50, right?
But I would try to be more relaxed behind the wheel.
Okay.
And avoid
the cream rinse.
And I would avoid the cream rinse. At least I would hold cream rinse, and I would probably switch. Never mind.
And torque those heads to 40, 50 foot-pounds.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sharon.
give me a good slap in the face, will you? What's happened to us? Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the South Seychelles Spam Smoney and Spirulina Smorgasbord, is John Boxy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. Our drug trial specialist is Placebo Domingo. My puzzle assistant is Normally Bogus. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the postdoc panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1943. Subscribe to our weekly podcast and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com. Want to ditch your old car before winter arrives and you find yourself stranded in a snowbank surrounded by hungry moose? Donate your old car to this station. You'll get a tax break and the station gets the proceeds. Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program. Details are at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Chicken Little says, okay, now do you believe me? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.